May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another episode of Life in Bali, a presentation of Kuuk Audio, a division of Kuuk Archives. I'm D.C. Buba of Kuuk Audio and Kuuk Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett Bandita, Feline Kuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable and free from economic distress and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. Today's guest is Gede Miga Jelena Putra. When I write the metadata and stuff you read, I'm just going to say Gede Miga, because I'm not sure how to spell Jelena. Jelena. I'm not sure how I said it. Maybe J-E-L-A-N-A. But it doesn't matter. That's his full name. With an E in front. E. Gede Miga Jelena Putra. But Miga. We call him Miga. And Miga was on staff at Floating Leaf, where we were a couple of weeks ago, or three, four weeks ago. I had a podcast with Gusawan from there. And there's one with Miga, and like the one with Gusawan, this was made with my iPhone rather than here in my little studio at home. Well, you know, I went down to the beach today. I'd been working and, you know, I had to have a break. I have to get up. I have to get moving, have some exercise. And I walk around on the Bali, like a little stage out front, traditional area. I'll walk 2,500 steps, you know, just going in like a figure eight on it, like an animal in a zoo. I love doing it because it's smooth and I can just forget. I do walking meditation there, and that's the type of walking meditation. And I do a little yoga and this and that, but it's really good to walk the beach and go in the water and swim out. And it's best to go with Katrinka, because then Bondi stays with her and she goes walking way down. But she was at a book club meeting, which took place outdoors, of course. A lot of places here are outdoors. And Umba, down the beach. She walked to it. It's about a 30-minute walk. And, you know, they met outside in sort of a high tide. They have a wall there coming up. But I got down a little later and went swimming. There wasn't another person in the water. There was a woman walking, who I saw walking. There was a guy collecting crabs in the sand, little crabs. Gosh. And when I walked out, there was a nice old Balinese guy sitting on a little stand. Another sort of ballet, a smaller one, maybe 6 feet square, sitting there with a dog at his feet, probably a stray dog that was just hanging out with him. And there was a restaurant there, but it didn't have any customers. I like it. They always play very nice music, very restful music. My favorite place, which is very near there, doesn't play. It plays more like MTV type music, which irritates me. But I'm used to it. But this place always plays nice music. And yeah, they'll put on like Indonesian music if I ask them. And, you know, it's nice to sit there and have some coconut water or some spring rolls or something. But anyway, I'm thinking, good Lord, man, it's been going on 9 months. I mean, some days there's a lot more people on the beach, but never crowded. Think of that. I mean, really nice beach down there. There's nobody there. And I swam. I did backstroke, and then just swimming, you know, until I got a little tired. Then Bondi was out of sight, and I called her, and she came back down. She was playing with some dog. She usually stays sort of near the water. She likes to go into the water. But then she'll stay sort of near the water looking for crabs to chase. And they'll dart down into their little holes. And she'll be darting around after them. And then if it's a low enough tide where and it's calm where she can just stand in the water, and she will look down at and see the life in the water. And there's not a great deal to see there, you know, but she sees it. And you'll see crabs in there. And that's the first time, she's just picked up on that recently, first time I've seen her at the beach really for a long period. I mean, really long. Like, I came up and went to her place, Genius, and she stayed there in the water looking. And that's, you know, like 50, 60 yards away, sitting there looking the longest time, walking around in the water and looking down. Usually she's like more focused on me or Katrinka. I mean, we're her anchors, right? And we don't have to have a leash on her or anything if we're down there. We won't do it on the street because she's not real smart. And she sees a cat and she'll run right in front of a car, you know. She's pretty much under voice control unless she sees a cat or a duck or a chicken walking down the street or something. Anyway, that was nice. I was thinking, wow, it's just incredible. It's just how long, you know, 9 months. It's just hardly any tourists or anything. It's been a very quiet world. It's a pretty quiet area we live in anyway, but you know, the traffic's less, the motor scooters are less. So I walked back and hosed Bondi. I have to hose her. I hose off the bottom part of her to get the sand off it, and then I dry her. She sort of likes that. You know, took a shower, went back to work. So that's the sort of thing I do. Pretty simple life, really. So, anyway, it's time now to turn to Miga Getty, and we'll see what he has to say about life in Bali. Oh, I should warn you, there's a good deal of background noise. But it's mainly the waterfall we're sitting near. Not really. It is waterfalling, but it's over at the pool, which we're pretty near. But see, it is a lovely remote waterfall scene. Actually, I used some noise reduction and reduced the amount of it, but it's sort of nice. Ah, all right. So,
Dean?
Yeah, we are live. So, Miga.
Yeah.
Would you please pronounce your name correctly?
Hey, okay. So, thank you for the chances, David. Thank you for inviting me. So, I am Miga.
Yeah.
So, it's spelled like M-I-G-A. My full name actually is Igede Miga Juliana Putra. As you know, Balinese people have their own front name. Like Gede means you are a first son or first daughter. And then the Kade will be second, Nyoman, and then will be Ketut. It's a Balinese things when you have a, you know, front name. Like, so my complete name is actually is I Gede Miga Juliana Putra.
Yeah, I just means mister. Like a male. It means male.
Yeah, male. I means male. Like, because if you are a female, you will have a ni.
Yeah.
Ni Putu or ni Luh or ni anything else.
Ni Gede.
I. For male, it's I.
Oh, you mean Gede is only male?
No. The I. I Gede. Because there's a I.
Yeah, ni Gede.
If you use a ni, it will be female. It's for female.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if a woman is named Gede, it's ni Gede.
Yep. But if you have a daughter, you will not give your daughter name Gede.
Oh.
Usually we'll give Putu, like a Putu Mariam.
Oh, yeah.
Or will be Luh. It's more, you know, feminine name.
Oh, because okay.
Gede actually sounds like man. You know, Gede means big in English. Gede at the first.
Uh-huh.
Or Putu or Luh. The second will be Kade or Made.
Yeah.
Third will be Komang.
Yeah.
Fourth will be Ketut.
Yeah.
And it means like a buntut. It's in the end.
Yeah.
And then after fourth, and then you have a fifth kid, you will be start as Wayan.
Wayan. You know, our Pembantu, our house cleaner, our house helper, the woman in charge of our house, our Pembantu, she's Kadek. But the gardener calls her Made. And I said, Kadek, can you be called Made?
So
and she said yes.
It usually happens in Bali because when you are first born, and then people just call you because people know you as a first kid, and then they just call you like Putu or Gede or whatever they want.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so interesting. That's hard for any foreigner to comprehend that you have a first name. But you know, think, there's Robert and Bob. That's the same name.
How can it be Robert and Bob can be same name?
Bob is short for Robert. See, Rob, Bob.
It's quite different if you use our languages, because Rob and Bob can be spelled really, really different.
Yeah. Well, heck, you've got Tonton. Right?
Tonton.
Tonton, to look at.
Oh, Tonton, watch.
Yeah, Tonton, to look at, right? But then more politely, larger, is Manonton. Right? Manonton, to look. But then they shorten it to Nonton.
Okay.
Right?
Let me explain.
So, Tonton.
Let me explain.
Nonton means the same thing.
So, it is a different, like, a different language, different adjective. Where if you say Tonton, it will be watch.
Yeah.
Manonton will be watching.
Uh-huh.
And then if you go Nonton, it's like a slang.
Yeah.
Slang word.
Yeah.
It's a shortened version from Manonton.
Yeah.
Because Indonesian people just shorten everything, like Manonton, like Nonton.
Sometimes so I see different. A word, like I've seen Nonton on signs because it's used a lot in advertising.
Yeah.
Manonton, look at, you know, look at TV. Look
more
at your
more catchy using Nonton.
Yeah, Nonton. And I've seen other words I look at and I go, what's that? I've never seen that. And then I realize it's one of these abbreviations of the longer word.
What do you call it? The abbreviation? Oh, that's a new word for me. Abbreviation.
Oh, you don't know abbreviation?
In the Indonesian, we call it
singkatan.
Singkatan.
Yeah.
Abbreviation.
Brief. Abbreviation.
Abbreviation.
Yeah, well, that's cool. That's a very, to me, a conversation like that's very interesting. Well, tell us where we are. I'm going to move it a little closer to you.
Mm-mm.
Tell us where are we now?
Oh, we are in the Floating Leaf Eco Luxury Retreat. So
the Floating Leaf
Eco Luxury Retreat.
No, right. Floating Leaf,
Echo, Luxury. Luxury Retreat.
Retreat
Center. Right. So I'm part of the big family of Floating Leaf.
Yeah.
Which is one of the biggest and most popular retreat center in Southeast Asia. And then
You mean there's other Floating Leaves?
No, I mean there's a lot of retreat facilities in the Southeast Asia, we are one of the most best retreat center, because you can see all the Hall of Fame in the TripAdvisor we have here. As we have continuously earned the award from the
What did you call them?
That's the TripAdvisor for the Certificate of Excellence.
Oh, TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Certificates of Excellence. Well,
we continuously had it since the 2015.
Yeah.
Until now.
Yeah.
So the latest one is TripAdvisor Traveler Choice 2020 Floating Leaf Ecoluxury Retreat.
Yeah.
So we can...
Speak a little slower.
Okay.
You'll be much easier to understand.
Okay.
I understand you when you speak fast. But that's because I'm used to speaking English with Indonesians who speak good English. But if someone isn't used to hearing it, it's a different accent.
Okay, I will try to speak more slowly.
Like that.
I actually was born like this. Even if I speak with Indonesian language, Bahasa, I also did it. Like I did it in English, I talk fast because
I know I heard you. I heard you.
Some things happened in my head, and then I have a son
that talked very fast as a young boy. I sometimes couldn't understand him. Kelly, my son Kelly. All right, so you were telling us about that Floating Leaf Echo
Luxury Retreat.
Retreat. Not resort, but retreat.
Retreat.
What would we call it? Award-winning, a lot of prestigious certificates from Travelocity, I don't know. I'm not, this is a test. I have never, recorded to anyone with my iPhone before.
Because I need to see the award. If you ask the word award, because we have a lot, I have to see one of... Because it's a different kind of awards, actually. We do have a lot of awards from the TripAdvisor itself.
Uh-huh. TripAdvisor.
Since 2015, like I said before.
Yeah.
We continuously earn the awards, like award-winning, like a Traveler's Choice, and then... The best, like Certificate of Excellence, we continuously earning that from the TripAdvisor.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my certificate. Katrinka and I have both, Katrinka's lifelong hospitality worker, right? She's been manager of very, very nice places. Mm-hmm. And we look, and I ran a Buddhist resort. It was a Buddhist monastery.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Brahma Vihara Arama, where you come from, the Buddhist temple up north in Singaraja.
Mm-hmm.
Brahma Vihara Arama, it's in Banjar.
In Banjar, yeah.
Yeah, it's near the hot spring.
Yeah, that's from, it's near my hometown.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it's not a monastery. It's a temple that has many meditation retreats.
Mm.
But many guests come there to see it. Many tourists and local people. Local people come for ceremonies or to meditate or pray or something. And it's very large.
Mm.
So our monastery also had many guests, but just in the warm months, May through September. And, I took care of guests and it was way in the mountains. So it wasn't like this. We didn't even have electricity much back then. Now we have solar power. But so Katrinka and I look at details, and your details here are excellent. And that's usually not true in Bali. That people will spend in Bali, they'll spend a lot of money building a villa, and then you can't get hot water, or the light switch doesn't work, or stuff like that. This place has really great attention to detail. It's very beautiful. It has a great pool. It's nice and long for swimming laps. You play really good music. Some people play bad music. So I like it a lot. But how long have you worked here?
So I've been here for two years. Mm-hmm. It's running to three, but I've been here 2 years. And then, but this floating lift itself is already been the industry in an industry for 5 years, mm-hmm. running to six. And then for all the details that you amazed about, I can dedicate that for my bosses, our bosses, our owner. That's a Mikaku and Bu Putu.
Now give me their names again. I know Putu. And what's his name?
The husband of Bu Putu, his Pak Mikaku. The true name, Mikaku.
Mikaku?
Mikaku.
Isn't he American?
American.
Yeah.
And then Mikaku.
He's an American boule, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He's in America now. And then...
Yeah. He's in Florida with their son.
Yeah. As long as...
What's his birth name?
Michael Dolifek. I'm not sure because I can tell you this, but the sure name is Michael Dolifek.
Dolifek?
Dolifek. Michael Dolifek.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Anyway, I've never met him. I've met Putu.
Mm-mm.
But I understand that Putu, his wife,
mm-hmm.
who I have met, that she was involved with the design.
Yeah, so he is the one who designed all of this floating lift.
Oh.
So every details that you see, the color of the pool, the statue, everything here, the playlist, even the playlist, the music, he chose all of it.
Oh, good. Good taste. Okay, so you've been here going on 3 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 25 years old now.
25. What did you do before you came here?
There's a lot of things that I did before I came here. Actually, I just graduated from the Tourism Institute in 2013.
Yeah, Tourism Institute.
Tourism
where?
Institute in where? Nusa Dua.
Nusa Dua.
Nusa Dua.
Yeah, that's a pricey place.
You name it. Because, yeah, that's why I, you know, feel guilty because after I graduated, I just not directly... get a job, you know. I have a 1 year of because I graduated in not 2013. I graduated in 2018.
Uh-huh.
18, and then after I graduated, I have to, you know, finding myself a job, you know, struggling from the zero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been in Traveloka. If you ever heard Traveloka before,
Traveloka.
It's like Expedia, but Indonesians.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You know, Katrinka does all that. I don't look at anything. She decides all that. She looks at all that.
So the Traveloka is a OTA, like online travel agent.
Yeah.
That is a lot of like Expedia or Booking.com, everything like that.
So you worked for them?
So I worked for them as outsourcing at first.
Outsourcing.
So they hired the outsourcing company, and then I work for the outsourcing company.
The what company?
The outsourcing company.
Yeah, outsourcing company.
So I work for the outsourcing company, and the outsourcing company have the partnership with the Traveloka, and then I handle Traveloka Eats at that time. So
Traveloka what?
Traveloka Eats. So Traveloka have a lot of facility.
Eat? Did you say eat?
Eat, yeah.
Like eat food.
Uh-huh. So Traveloka have the Traveloka hotels, Traveloka flights, and then Traveloka eats. Traveloka. There's a lot of stuff inside the application.
Right.
One of the applications is the Traveloka eats, which is giving you a discount if you go to the restaurant and you're using our app, and then you have you will get the discount that we already prepared with the restaurant. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of benefits in the app. if you try. You can just take a look of that. So I
no, I won't. Katrinka can.
Because once you there, and you will be, you know, addicted with the discount or everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
anyway, we come here because we know Putu. And we don't go many places.
So why?
Why?
You don't want...
Money,
you,
man. Uh-huh. And I work.
You don't like travel?
I work all the time. And this, let me tell you.
Mm, mm, mm.
What we paid to be here 2 nights and 3 days, that meal we had for dinner would cost more than that.
Oh, really?
In America, or maybe same. Yeah.
For one dinner?
Yeah, because that was really good. Mm, you don't get that in a normal restaurant. Mm. I mean, that was really good. What we had was fish with Balinese spices and the sort of potato fritters. What do you call those?
It's a kumara fritter. It's kumara fritter. It's mixed with potato and a sweet potato.
Yeah, oh, man, they're good.
We call
good.
It ubi here.
They're
so
good.
We have a lot
they're
of that.
Good. And then the fantastic salad with walnuts.
Walnuts.
And the only thing I would... Walnuts and mango and lettuce. The only thing I would change is I would roast the walnuts.
Oh, you would roast the walnuts.
Oh, definitely. Walnuts. Mm. Walnuts are a little bitter. They have tannin.
Mm.
Like tea. If you steep tea too long,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe that's tannin. I think so.
Mm.
But if you roast them and so that they're crunchy, like renyah,
renyah.
Yeah, then that brings the flavor out.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I really suggest
that. I will send your suggestion to the kitchen, so it might be help us to improve our food.
Well, we ate them, but... I think it's better not to eat raw walnuts.
I don't know about that. Before,
yeah, and we eat a lot of nuts. And you know, I brought our almond cashew milk. We make that at home.
You make that at home?
Oh yeah.
So you fragment them, like you put it in the jar, right?
And then we just soak them. Overnight, soak it 12 hours.
Oh.
Then, if you soak it 12 hours, one nice thing to do is put it in a bowl and pour boiling water over it and let it sit there 5 minutes. And then pour that off and then blend it. Now, I taught our Pembantu how to do this. Mm. So all I have to do is soak it. She comes in and makes it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But she likes to boil it for a while. Because she can get more out of it that way and reduce the amount of pulp,
the ampas,
like daging, the meat from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that'd be pulp, and then she adds. She soaks like for say if it's 1 cup of nuts that are soaking, then you use 4 cups of water, and then she adds maybe. Four dates.
Four
you know,
dates.
Date?
Yeah, dates like kurma.
Right. And soak it in water and then blend it with it. And it makes it a little bit sweet, gives it great flavor. And a lot of people drink almond milk, but the almond cashew milk, that's great. Anyway, let's see, I got off there a little.
That's a new thing that I learned.
Uh-huh.
So because a lot of people, a lot of my friends try to make their own almond milk,
mm-hmm.
but I never heard about the almond cashew milk. Mm-hmm. Like you, I will try that at home if you're not.
You don't have to remove the skin.
You just put it.
Yeah.
You don't have to wash it even.
Yeah, you wash it. Sure, that's always good.
Because when you wash it, sometimes the skin will just automatically.
Well, that's all right.
Oh.
You know, but some recipes, especially the ones from, like in India, they remove the skin. But I don't see why. I mean, it makes it maybe a little more halus, a little more refined.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But I
but
don't...
We don't eat the nuts anyway because we make the almond milk, right? Because if you either you put the skin off or on, you still get the water, right? Because you...
Yeah. But also, we use the pulp.
Oh, you use the pulp?
Yeah, you can mix it with flour and, like, make, you know, we make types of crackers and bread. I don't like sweet things so much.
So how does it taste, the cracker?
It doesn't have a lot of taste. It just adds to it. But anyway, we can get into that later. let's go back to, anyway, the meal was great, cost is great, but we do have a discount now because of the virus. So you're Hindu.
I'm Hindu.
Ah.
The three datu.
Yeah.
Bracelet?
Yeah, he's got a three datu, I've got a three datu. Tell him what three datu means.
Okay. It's kind of hard because I've not learned much about the, you know, there's a people who are expert in the religion.
Uh-huh.
I'm not the one who is expert.
It's
only the basic that I've
learned. What do the words mean? Tree datu.
Tree means tiga.
Yeah.
And then the datu, I don't know.
Color. It means three colors.
You really? So you tell me.
Yeah.
It's a three color.
Yeah.
The one that I knew, because why it's black, red, and white, it's represent the three. So there's a three manifest of the god.
Yeah.
Three main god. So it's a Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva.
Yeah.
So the three color represent one of the each deva.
That's cool. See, that's enough.
So yeah, so that's the only thing that I know, because three datu means like a. So there's a lot of gods in Hindu. You may know that. There's a lot of God for water, God for rice field, God for sea, God for everything. But the main God, is Ida Sangyang Widiwasa, and then.
Wait a minute. The main God is
Ida. So it's spelled like Ida Sang Hyang Widi Wasa.
Uh huh.
So
that's in Bali.
As a Balinese,
that's not Sanskrit. Not from India.
It's not from India.
It's Balinese Hinduism.
It's a Balinese Hinduism. So as you know, as you may know that the Hindu from India and Hindu in Bali are quite different.
Oh yeah, because really quite different. I've spent time at ashram in India.
So you might notice that in Bali we more like, you know, like culture things. Like there's a lot of culture with different with India.
Culture
things that different with the India.
Oh, because God, they're totally different.
Yeah. But the God, the name of God, and then it's a quite similar. But the Ida Sangyang Widiwasa that you might not find in India are our main God in Balinese Hindu.
Yeah, and then you know why I think you have a main god in Balinese Hinduism? Because it's a Muslim country, and they won't recognize a religion unless they can find one god.
It could be like that.
So they call Buddha, but they'll say, well, Buddhism's all right because it has Buddha. And Buddha's not God.
Yeah,
Buddha's not God. We're Buddhists. Katrink and I are Buddhists. But we like Hinduism too.
Mm-hmm. Because in the Balinese, you know, Balinese knowledge.
Yeah.
I call it Balinese knowledge because I'm not sure it's a Hindus or Balinese. So I call it Balinese 100. Because, I think why the Hinduism are quite, the Hinduism in Bali quite different in India, because it changed because the location.
Mm-hmm.
And then the geographic. The cultures, because before the Hindu came to the Nusantara, we call it Nusantara, Indonesia, generally.
Nusantara.
Before.
Well, Nus is like island. Yeah. So Nusantara, island, world of islands.
So, yeah. So Indonesia, before we, you know, apa merdeka?
Merdeka is independence.
Independence. Before we become the independent country.
Yeah.
We call ourselves is Nusantara. So it from Nusa, two words. It come from two words. First word it Nusa.
Yeah.
Second word is Antara. So Nusa means pulau.
Yeah. Island.
Antara means between.
Oh,
so it's a between island. Because
yeah,
Indonesia,
okay, okay.
As you know, it's a long...
I didn't catch that. I see.
Big
cool,
island.
Nusa Antara. I can
Nusantara.
Remember that.
So there's a Sumatra Island, Kalimantan Island, Sulawesi, Papua,
well,
Bali.
So you call it, but when I was a little boy, I mean, I'm 75.
Yeah.
So 65 years ago, I called it Indonesia. It had the name Indonesia.
If you...
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
We do have it. It's 65 years ago, it's... 1955, we independent at 1945, and
man.
before that, we actually have the Indonesian name, but before the you know the Dutch come, the French come,
Dutch,
the Belanda,
yeah,
the Dutch come,
right.
The Germany, the Japanese come,
yeah.
So before they try to conquer us, we are stand as a kingdom.
Yeah.
You might know that. So we are stand as a kingdom. There's a kingdom.
What as a kingdom?
As a kingdom. So before Indonesia as a country,
uh-huh.
And then before we independence, when the Japanese come, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Long time ago, really long time ago, we stand as a kingdom. Indonesia is a kingdom.
Yeah.
So there's a kingdom in Sumatra Island. There's a kingdom in Bali. There's a kingdom in Kalimantan.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So when in that centuries, we call it Nusantara because the kingdom are in the different island,
yeah,
mostly.
Yeah, cool,
Nusantara.
I mean, I've heard that name.
I'm not really good at history, but you can check
you're,
it on the
you're
Google.
You're good enough, man. That's cool.
I might wrong, but yeah. I just you know told you that what I knew and what I believed before.
So how come your English is so good?
I'm watching a lot of movies.
I hear that a lot. But
but it's true.
Yeah.
Because if you live in Indonesia, I believe that you are in Bali in more than 2 years and you already know the system of our education.
Yeah.
We only get the basic English at our elementary school and junior. And then if you interested in English, you should you know learn in your own way. If you born rich, you can get your private class. You can hire a teacher to teach you English. But I was born in the middle class, so I'm not rich, but I'm not so poor. So I prefer to download the movies. And then my father also work in the hospitality, which is in the hotel.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he trained me so well to speak English. He made one special day at home. One special day that the whole member of family must speak English.
Is that one day a week?
One day a week.
Whoa, that's
so it's a Friday, English Friday.
Cool.
So every Friday we should speak English, even if it's a mistake. He will correct that.
Excellent. But good for him.
And then, yeah.
Good
so that's why actually I can be this better. But I still feel that I weigh, I'm not fluent yet, but I still learning my own way.
Yeah, you're doing good. You're doing good.
Because that's a lot of simple present, past present, past future. There's a lot of things happening.
Wow. So what was it like? You grew up, you were born in Singaraja?
So yeah, I grew up, I born in Denpasar actually.
Yeah.
And I grew up also in Denpasar, but my father and my mother come from Singaraja.
Oh.
My father come from the village near the Lovina.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's a Desa Selat.
Mm-hmm. I know, Sedadik.
Desa Selat this. It is Desa Selat, and then my mother come from the east part of Buleleng. It's called Bondalem.
Uh-huh.
If you ever heard that, so Bondalem. So the east part of the Buleleng is Bondalem. Buleleng means Singaraja.
Yeah.
The capital city of Buleleng is Singaraja, but I call it Buleleng because it's the kabupaten. The regency. The regency. So east part is Bondalem. West part is not so west, but it's quite middle. It's the Lovina.
Yeah.
Lovina Beach. So my father and my mother meet each other and then go. You know.
Yeah. Like, so you went back there for ceremonies?
I went back, yeah, for ceremonies and maybe weekend. You know, I still have grandfather and grandmother, which is they are. My grandfather is 90 years old now.
Good for him.
And it's still, you know, still healthy.
Good.
Still doing well, everything. But my grandmother, 80 something, but she, yeah, quite hard to walking, everything. Mm-hmm. So sometimes at the weekend, or if there any ceremony, if there's event held in our hometown, I just come back and then, you know, meeting each other. So I know my grandfather will missing us, like grandmother will miss us. So I just saw them for the month, once a time a month, or twice.
So this is very common. I know many, many people who live in Denpasar, which is the center, that's the capital of Bali and the center of activity.
Yeah.
And it's all the, not all, but the tourist and expat concentration is in the south, where Denpasar is. So they work there, they get homes there, but they go back to where they came from all over. And usually have a home in the other place
too. Yeah, hometown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as a Balinese, you can't just, you know, when you have a hometown, we also have, as you know, the Balinese people have their own temple.
Yeah.
So every house has their own temple, right?
Yeah.
And then we call it Sangha. It's a representative of our biggest temple. So every house, like, there is one Sangha here. Of the corner over there, it is a Sangha. So that's a representative of the biggest temple. We have it in every house, in every Balinese house.
When you have the pura, which is sort of like temple,
pura,
our shrine, the small ones you call sangha, not to be confused. You know, sangha in Sanskrit.
I don't know it. I don't know. I know sangha names from my family. Yeah. All of the Balinese people call it sangha.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Sanskrit in Indonesian and used here. And sangha is usually used in India in Buddhism. Mm. Sangha means the community.
Oh.
The community of practicing Buddhists. See, like, you know, practicing like Ladi, like community, Angoka, Agama Buddha Yang Latihan, the community of practicing Sangha. So very interesting, this word stands for the shrine.
The shrine, one mini shrine as a representative of the biggest temple, biggest pura.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You know, I didn't know that. So I can use the word sangha for the shrine in a home.
Yeah, shrine.
But I only know the word pura, and I think it's so funny to use pura for the biggest temple in Bali and then a tiny shrine. What about in a car when there's like a little offering in a car?
So we keep calling that, we can call that as an offering, still as offering.
Yeah, but what do you call it in, do you call it banten?
Banten.
Yeah.
That's a banten. Mm-hmm. Because when you, even for banten, there are a lot of, you know, variation of banten. There's a various banten. Banten for this, you can banten for sanggah this, banten. There's a,
yeah. Let me explain, is the...
The offerings.
Is the palm leaf made little tray that has flowers and what else?
So the banten is more complicated stuff. So the one that you try to describe is canang.
Canang sari.
Canang sari. So canang made from the palm leaves.
Yeah.
It's a square form.
Oh, and so then you call that canang sari.
It's canang sari. So we put the flowers in the various color. It represent the God in the every direction. So if you wondering why we use more than one color, and always there is always red in the north, there's always blue in the south. So it's represented God itself, because when you put the red in the north, it represents Brahma. So, and then the green in the center, it represents Shiva.
And what about
the Vishnu in the south?
And what color was that? Green?
Green. Give me 5 minutes. I will bring you a map with the direction, so you can just. Because
No.
To misunderstanding about the counter, because we always prepare the things that it's easy for people to understand what is going on with canang sari.
Okay, so wait a minute. While you're doing that, I usually call them canang sari, but then what's bantan?
Yeah, so bantan are the upgrade version from canang sari, because bantan have the canang inside, and then it have an egg, so we call it daksina.
You call it what?
Daksina.
Well, wait a minute, you got to come over here to talk. Won't get on the...
I need 5 minutes to find my map of canang. It's a little easier for you to understand.
Well, maybe you could explain that tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I'm very interested, but I think, people listening won't be able to see the map.
Oh, yeah. So I just wonder if you want to know more.
Yeah, but we could do that tomorrow. Now, you pronounce it bantan?
Bantan.
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 Yeah, okay. And it's an offering.
Yeah, it's an offering.
What's it made out of?
So bantan are made of, it depends on what kind of bantan that we talk about. Because in the general, bantan could be many things.
Oh.
If you ever see the woman bringing a big stuff with,
oh yeah,
fruit.
With offering like a big basket stacked on her head with different fruit
cake,
and flowers.
Sometimes they
cake.
Have fried. Sometimes they have chicken. You know, like fried chicken on. It's a lot of things.
Right.
You can call it bantan.
Oh, that bantan.
That bantan. So the bantan could be offering. Can be the bantan is offering, but. Mm-hmm. If you ask the differences about with the canang sari, it will be the canang sari is the base, the core of the offerings.
Uh-huh.
So bantan have the canang inside the bantan, but there is a lot of stuff more than canang inside the bantan. You can daksina. It's quite hard to explain daksina because it's a lot of tiny stuff that
daksina.
Daksina.
Yeah, maybe we get into that tomorrow too. That's very interesting.
Just play. Play in the market, go to the market, ask people, just randomly ask people, do you sell daksina? They will just...
What is daksina?
So it's our sarana, it's like offerings, also offering, but so that's a complicated thing that I have to...
Okay, I'll look into that. I never buy canang sari.
Mm-mm.
Our Pembantu offers canang sari. Our landlord comes by. We have a sangha.
A sangha.
Sangha. You know, pretty big in front. Mm. Well, not big. Some people have very big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, it's got a separate structure that's like 2 meters
Mm-mm.
tall,
Mm-mm.
or maybe 2.5 meters tall,
Mm-mm.
and a place for offering. You know, one thing I notice about Hinduism in Bali is that the representations of Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva, they're not usually statues. You go to a Balinese temple, and there's You know, there might be some statues, but not like in India, not like Indian Hinduism. Their statues are very prominent, and they'll have a lot of, depending on on the type of temple, a lot of Krishna and Lakshmi and others. And we experience that in Singapore. When we go to Singapore, we stay near a Hindu temple that's Indians there. And it's so much fun. Balinese are so santa. You know, they're so peaceful and easygoing and very, very smooth here. Man, we go to that temple there, just go sit and listen to the clanging of instruments and two, three ceremonies going over at once and all these colorful people. And it's like a lot louder. It's a lot more like a circus than here. Here it's very calm. And,
yeah.
You know?
I think it happened because the cultural things, you know, the differences about the cultural things. Even the statue, we do have the statue of Brahma. We do have statue of Vishnu and Shiva, but it will be styled differently. Yeah. So it, you know, even the art is different.
Yeah, and when and there are statues here, but they're just not. They're not everywhere and central. And well, you got the giant ones out there. What's that called? Oh, I know.
On the North Bali?
It's called, let's see now, Garuda.
Vishnu Kencana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, so, or like,
Geweka.
Those
G-W-K.
Are the giant statues of Garuda, the bird of, I don't know, bird of paradise. I don't know what it
is. Okay, so the Geweka, the philosophy behind the Geweka. So Garuda, so we believe, so I've told you that we have three main god that manifest our main god.
Right.
Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So Brahma are the creator.
Yeah.
Vishnu is the protector.
Right.
Shiva is the, you can say, the destroyer.
Right.
The
I
reborn,
love that. I love
the reborn
that.
God.
And then, I love that. It's such a sane way it mythology to look at existence to include the destroyer and not make the destroyer something bad that you're trying to say. It's
you're not
always there.
The Shiva is not actually destroyed the word, it's like the reborn the word. Like,
Shiva is more complicated than destroyer. That's true.
More
but it recognizes that everything's changing, that it's born, it continues. And it's destroyed. And I think the world now is controlled by Shiva.
Could be like that.
Yeah,
it depends on your belief. So
you look at climate change.
Yeah,
and you look at the politics, the extremism in religions.
Yeah. So if in Bali we believe this is the Kali Yuga. So in the
Kali Yuga is age of destruction.
Yeah, that's for ages, right? So when the goodness are 100%, the second ages is the goodness are 75%, and then the bad, the evilness will be 25%. There will be this third age, the goodness 50-50 with the evil, and then we are in the Kali Yuga at the fourth ages.
And what's the percentage?
So 75% evil, 25% goodness. And after we pass this Kali Yuga, it will be the evil will be 100%. That's the time we will just destroy, you know, the reborn. We recreate the world.
America is pretty close to that.
You can say that because
I don't know. I don't know really.
I can't say nothing about that.
Well, we can move on. You know, with the nuclear weapons we have in this world, so many controlled, you know, by, we're just lucky that we haven't had a big nuclear war by accident. And climate change is it's coming like a big tidal wave.
However, we will face the end.
Yes.
However, we will face the end. You just have to admit that, and then, you know, doing your best while you're living in this world.
And recognize that we're in the Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga.
That Shiva's in charge. But it doesn't mean personally Shiva is in charge. No. We can still be Vishnu, even in the Kali Yuga. We can be Brahma. We can be...
Yeah. So actually, when you're still living in this world, who is in charge is still Vishnu. Because Shiva will only, you know, recreate. When you pass away, go to the afterworlds, we can say that afterworlds, and then Shiva is taking charge. Shiva will, you know, decide you to reborn or decide you based on your karma, karma pala, or you will be born as a who, from which family. It's a more likely from your karma. So we'll be back again from the Garuda Vishnu Kencana.
Yeah.
So why they decided to make Garuda Vishnu Kencana? That I think because the Vishnu are the symbol for the protector. It's a plan for long time ago, years ago. So they want to build an icon from Bali the biggest statue. I think it's more bigger than Liberty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's bigger more than Liberty because you can see it. Really, really far away from far point.
I look at that, and the bigger you look at it, it looks like some giant building or something from far away. And then I realize it's
a statue.
Gwk. It's, you know, GWK. And it's built privately.
A bit privately, and then why you ask? You asked about the bird. So the Garuda.
Yeah.
We believe that the god have their own, what you call it, like the assistant or the ride. So the god have their own ride. Ride.
Like
the Vishnu.
Like Supir?
Not the Supir, the car.
Yeah.
The god have their own ride.
Supir is a driver. So they have their own ride. That's good. Yeah.
So the Vishnu have Garuda as his ride.
Oh.
So Garuda means the man, the birds with the physically man body, but with wings, with the head of birds.
Yeah.
Head of hawk, I think, hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Garuda. In the mythology, there is a creator like Garuda in the, you know, the Hindu mythology in Bali. There is a Garuda in the story about Vishnu.
Oh,
White.
Yeah?
And a long time in the mythology said that Garuda wants against Vishnu, and then Vishnu won against Garuda.
So Garuda and Vishnu fought.
Yeah,
they had a fight.
Had a fight.
Yeah,
and then the Garuda. I don't know if the Garuda lose or they get the conclusion about the fight. So after that, the Garuda submitted to become the right of Vishnu.
Yeah.
So Brahma have. I forget about what right of Brahma. Vishnu Garuda, but Shiva is Lembu. Lembu means cow.
Means what?
Cow.
Cow?
Cow.
Oh,
Shiva
have
cow. So that's why in the India, cow is...
sacred.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
Because it's a right for Shiva.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing here in Bali
about
the cow.
We still eat cow sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. That's well said. So what do you got planned in the future?
Oh, I do have a plan in the future because during this challenging time, most of Balinese affected by this difficult situation, which is we usually survive because the tourism. 80% Balinese people are working in the hospitality and tourism industry, which is will be most affected in this difficult situation. And then most Balinese now are struggling to, you know, get survive because a lot of people are lost their job now in Bali.
Oh yeah, I know.
And then
I think might be 80% of the income, of the money comes from tourism, but not 80% of the people. Do you understand?
Yeah. It could be like that because I read the data before.
Really? And it says 80% of the people? I mean, but there's these poor people like over in East Bali and...
Because if you... It's for me. If you go to the various region in Bali, you go to Karangasem,
yeah.
You go to Klungkung, you go to Singaraja, you go to Bangli, you go to Kintamani, you go to Tabanan.
Yeah.
They mostly have their own tourism industry.
Yeah.
All of that region are, you know, you can say like 50%, minimum 50%, they are have income from tourism industry. But the biggest area will be at Jimbaran, Nusa Dua, then and South Bali.
Oh, incidentally, one thing we haven't said is that Floating Leaf Echo
Luxury
Retreat. Which we
you can
just
say
call Floating Leaf. We just
call
it Floating Leaf. Is that it's remote. It's not... It's surrounded by rice fields. It's very beautiful. You're by car maybe 5 minutes from the ocean.
Yeah, 3 minutes actually.
Three minutes.
So you
can walk down there in 30 minutes.
You can walk there for 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
15 minutes. I've been walking.
You
there.
Walk in 15 minutes. I'd probably walk in.
Yeah, it depends
20.
On the. Yeah.
Katrinka is a fast walker.
Yeah, even say so.
She's
yeah.
a fast. I have. It's hard for me to keep up with her. Even when I was playing tennis, it was hard for me to walk as fast as her. She walks a lot. And so this is a very lovely place, and it's isolated. Is there anything else like this near here?
I could say no, because in this area, even in Sukawati, we are the only retreat facilities in the town. You know, this is
Sukawati Kabupaten a regency?
No, it's Sukawati is a village.
Desa, it's just a village.
Desa Sukawati.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's a village,
but it's pretty big area.
Pretty big. Some village have. You know, like wide area.
Yeah,
it's not. You know, when you say village, more a lot of people thinks that will be a small remote area, but not. But some village have you
like
know,
Ubud is a very big area.
Ubud actually you can say like a village, but because it's the central, like you know the tourism there are quietly improving.
Yeah,
and then that's why it's a more you know more. More modern.
Yeah.
More modern.
Oh my God.
So
it's
before
busy.
It's traffic, busy.
Oh God.
A lot of tourists.
You get to Ubud, you get to where you're going to stay and you walk after that.
You walk. You don't take car. You don't. I recommend you to not ride bicycle if you're not used to that because really, really dangerous. Don't follow Indonesian people who don't wear helmet. Just don't, because some people are not well educated about the safetyness. You know, the safety about the helmet, how to drive bicycle. The bike with the proper way. You know, there's a sign for you know you have to respect the other user of the road, right?
Hey, listen, to me, it's much safer here than America.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. I think Balinese drivers are extremely polite and respectful and cooperative.
Why can you say it like that? Because what happened in America?
Well, it depends. But
I've never been
people,
there.
All right. Say you're driving down this street here and there's a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And so many two-lane roads. Mainly just two lanes.
Two lanes.
Some of them just one with cars having to pass. But, all right, and there's just a line of cars coming toward you, and you want to turn right in front of them. You can turn right when there's a little, and the person will slow down and let you go through. Not so easy to do in America, you know. I think it's safe, much safer here. Also, everything's slower here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh God, you've got narrow streets. We've got much bigger streets. People drive a lot fast. Some of your motor scooters go pretty fast.
We've got a lot of people coming from America before.
Yeah.
Because our mostly guests are come from America, and a lot of people told me that the Balinese people are crazy when they ride the bicycle, the motorcycle. Sometimes we don't use any helmet. Sometimes we just drive blindly. They said so. That's why I explained to
them. People go to foreign countries, and they almost always say the drivers are crazy there. But really, in general, I would say Bali is a safe place to ride a bicycle.
Sure. I agree with
Japan's that. Japan's very good. Asia. Asia's... Everywhere in Asia, you can ride a bicycle.
Based on the movie that I've watched before, there's a lot of, the lot of argument. A lot of people are...
In America?
In America.
Yeah,
in the
middle of road rage. You have arguments.
They were just yelling at each other.
Yeah, you have arguments.
It's not happening in Bali.
No, never. I've never seen road rage. I've never seen argument. Balinese people are very polite. Well, okay. So we were talking about your idea for the future.
The closest one is I want to have my own business.
Yeah.
It's still a small one. I do have one stand. One stand warung.
Yeah, warung.
I have one warung.
Where?
in Renon.
Oh, in Renon?
In Renon, in Pasar Renon, Pasar Puja Sera Renon.
Yeah, that's very near Bisenur, where I live.
Tukat Badung, if you ever heard that. Tukat Badung.
Tukat Badung.
Tukat Badung. So
yeah.
It's.
I don't drive, so I just tell Nyoman, my driver, Tukat Badung.
He will know. A famous area in the Renon.
Well, give me a call, Nyoman. Sometimes... See, I'm at home working a lot. Then, once a week, I like to get out and just talk with him. And, you know, we only talk Indonesian. He doesn't speak any English. As a matter of fact, you and I have only been speaking Indonesian because you're very nice and helpful to me.
Yep.
Your English is excellent. Someday... When I'm going out, if you're there, if I know you're there, we go drop by. What do you have in your store?
So I selling a food like a tahu goreng, a satay taichan with spicy food.
Tahu goreng is fried tofu.
The taichan satay is
what?
Taichan satay taichan, it's a chicken satay with the special spicy sambals. I sell that, and then. We also have a chicken popcorn.
Chicken popcorn.
Chicken popcorn, it's a popcorn but made from chicken, so it's not from corn.
I never heard.
it's a variety of Indonesian style.
Yeah.
But if you drink beers and if you really like seafood, the left and the right side of my stand, the right side of my stand is selling beer. So if you really want to hang out with, have a chill Sunday with the one light beer, you can just go there. I also can serve you tapas. You call it tapas.
Tapas. Tapas, I think of as a way of eating coming from Spain.
Yeah.
Where you have all these little different types of food.
So what I knew about tapas is tapas is the food that come with the alcohol. So when you have the alcohol, the food that you eat within the alcohol during the alcohol time is called tapas.
I have to have it with tea.
So
or water.
So that's why I might be wrong, but tapas bar always sell the cocktail, but at the snack at the same time.
Yeah, but Katrinka and I don't drink alcohol. But we'll go to a tapas place.
We do have a tea.
And get iced tea.
My next stand also sell tea. my brother actually sell a coffee. So it's a like a Balinese coffee, yeah. Banana coffee, uh-huh. And then the red velvet coffee. My brother
sells banana
coffee.
Yep. Banana?
Banana coffee.
Wow.
So coffee with pisang. Coffee pisang. Banana with banana, a coffee with banana flour. It's true. So
I don't drink coffee, but could drink it.
Yeah. So, in the middle, I'm the middle of the stands. The right side of me sell alcohol drink. The left side sell coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So and then there's a lot of like a food court. There are a lot of people selling various.
So most of your business is with local people.
Most of local people.
So you're still open.
Still open. I have a one staff.
I was talking to somebody yesterday who said, who's been here, he's German. He's been here since 1982.
1982? Yeah. It's before I born.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really
all right. So he said...
How old is he?
He's 64.
64?
Yeah.
So, it's older. So he's been here...
74.
So he's been here...
He came here when he was 18?
Yeah, since he was a kid. No, not 18. He was a kid here.
No.
I was born in 65. He come 84. It's likely he's same age with my father.
No. Yeah, he was born. Well, anyway. He says, they say that tourism is 80% of the economy here.
Mm.
He said. So maybe that's what they're used to now, but they're not poor. He said, they don't need it. They've got a very strong culture. They just start trading with each other. They can survive very well here without tourism. And that's important. It seems to me from my, connection with news and talking to people, America is suffering much more from... lockdown, closing things, and the virus, then Bali. There's a lot. I know people who drivers and people who don't have work, but they're all doing something. One of them is working in his brother's farm,
farm.
And with different things. And we've been paying extra to some people. To help them.
For me, that's the one most important lesson that we, as Balinese, we have learned during this pandemic, during this difficult time. Because we never knew what will coming after this, So we as Balinese always, relax about what we're coming. And because we enjoy living in this tourism industry, and then we forgot, many people have own lands. They sell their land for villas. They sell their land for hotels. A lot of people are forget their, their culture, to doing farm work. Go to the farm, go to the rice field. Like the old Balinese things do, and that's the most important things that we've learned. During this pandemic, you can't survive with only one industry.
That's right.
You can't.
That's
but
right.
Then
we should never be dependent on tourism, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Especially now, the future is much more uncertain than it was before.
Yep. I totally agree with that. And we learned that with a difficult way, because we're suffering for many months.
Oh, but Bali is doing very well, I think. There's a lot of programs giving people food. There's a lot of people helping each other. But America has 8 times more COVID-19 per capita. You understand per capita?
Per capita. So
for the number of people, America is 8 times worse than Bali. But Bali has a much stricter, has much stricter rules, and people cooperate.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. Okay. Well, I think we ought to wrap it up here. Thank you very much, Miga.
Yeah, Miga. Yeah. You know, you're welcome. I've open for any, you know, if you're wondering about Bali, I know something, I will just share it with you.
Yeah.
And maybe tomorrow we'll meet again. We will talk about Chanang Sari and Banten again.
Yeah, yeah.
I will find the document.
Show me. And in Indonesian.
Thank you.
Much harder.
In Indonesian.
My Indonesian is nowhere like...
So for this section, I learned my English from you. So tomorrow you will learn your Indonesian from me.
Yeah, yeah.
I like we use it. But yeah. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for this podcast. I hope this will be, you know, helping much people to know about Bali is safer.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Bali will safer. Bali is safe. Maybe there's a lot rumors spreading about the conditions, right? So
a lot of rumors spreading.
Like I watch that news, you know, there's a lot of hoax now, because there's a I read in the Australian news that the Australia close their flight to other country or only to Bali. I'm not sure,
oh,
but
yeah.
It's until 2022. 21
oh,
or 22.
Yeah, don't believe that. Don't believe that. You can't believe any of that.
I hope it's wrong.
No, no, no.
So, but
I mean, it might be true, but it'll change.
Yeah.
All this stuff changes, and that's true here. They want to open in December, but they probably will not. Right? I mean, you can get here. It's expensive. Now, you can get a social Budaya visa. And that's expensive, unless you do it yourself online.
Yeah.
It's still more than... Like, most countries, like America, Australia, I think Australia, have visa on arrival, which is free. And then if you were to extend it, it's... $30 or something.
I've never had a visa before. I've never go to the
other island. But that's for people coming in.
Yeah.
But now for people to come here, it's expensive. So almost all the tourism here now is Indonesian. And
domestic.
Actually, until for a long time, there was no.
Yeah.
For months and months, there was no Indonesian tourism. Other Indonesians could not come here. Without a good reason. And then they have to go through various checks.
Yeah.
Very strict here. I really appreciate it. So, okay. Well, very good. Well, we'll see you tomorrow at breakfast. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
So, thank you very much, Miga Gade. That was fun talking with you. And I look forward to seeing you again at Floating Leaf. So, this has been a Cuke Audio podcast. I'm D.C. Buba of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Dogat Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.